Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Some of you may remember, golly, it's probably five to 10 years ago it started and it continued, but there was this trend and kind of a craze. I don't know how many of you guys follow celebrity gossip. No, is anybody going to raise their hand? The celebrity? Okay. Lance very boldly raised his own wife's hand. I respect that. That's going to be burnt suppers for a while there, buddy. But anyway, if you follow the celebrity world, which I don't recommend, but if you follow the celebrity world, you probably remember maybe about 10 years ago, there was this trend, and it was all of these celebrity women, beautiful celebrity women, and do you remember what they were always showing off? They always were taking pictures of them, not stage front, but like a true profile picture. What were they showing off on these celebrity women? Their baby bumps, remember? Do you guys remember that? When all the, Judy's nodding, she knows, you know, so all the Cosmos she's read in her life, but there, you know, there was this thing where everybody was looking and showing off their baby bump. It was this thing where all these celebrity women, they wanted you to see it. They wanted you to see that they were pregnant. And I'm all for that, honestly. Of all the stupid celebrity stuff, I think that's probably the best one. I think celebrating motherhood is a good thing. But they wanted to show it off. Now, a lot of times, that's all it was, though. It was just the picture. Why? Because you take the woman and you show that she's got this bump. It shows. And it says something immediately. It says, she's pregnant. Even if it's just a little itty-bitty bump, it says she's pregnant. All that does, that little bit of a lump, that little bit of a hump, what that tells you is that there is another life inside of her. I mean, a lot of parents in here, you guys know the drill, but think about that. That's what is being celebrated, these very wealthy, very well-known, famous women. What they're doing is they're showing off and they're saying, this is another person. I have another life inside of me. It isn't me. This isn't my life. And I didn't eat too many eclairs. This is another person, a totally different being from me, and I am carrying that life inside of me. And that life that's inside of me is changing me. That's one of the amazing things about pregnancy is another life is inside of you and it changes the mother. The mother becomes different in many ways. She becomes another person. She carries another person, but she becomes another person. The woman goes from being a woman to being a mother. She changes intrinsically who she is. She changes. And all of that changes because she has another life inside of her. When we look back at Mary, when we consider who this girl was, there are an enormous amount of questions we have. more questions than we have answers for. Now, many of you guys are familiar with a lot of the folk stories about Mary. You know, how many of you guys have heard that Mary was anywhere between 11 to 16 years old? Probably all of you. Do you know where that stat comes from? Comes from nowhere. Comes from people just making it up. A lot of you guys have heard that women in the medieval period, that they got married when they were like 13. No, they've done research by studying old church records, and they found that at least in medieval France, a lot of women weren't getting married until they were 19, 21, 22 years old. Because shockingly, you guys might not believe me, but shockingly, people in the ancient world knew that if a 14-year-old got pregnant, it probably wasn't going to be very good for her. Right? So girls weren't just getting married off at 11, 12, 13. Now, sometimes it happened, but that was mostly among the aristocracy. So we don't know how old Mary was. We don't have great details about Mary's family. We don't know anything about her family. We don't know what her father did for a living. We don't know where she lived in Nazareth. We do know that she was from Nazareth, and we know that Nazareth was a pretty poor town. So we can say that she was probably on the youngish side. I would guess between 16 and 22 years old. Joseph was probably older than her, probably by a good maybe 5 to 10 years at least. But we don't really know anything. And in fact, look at the way that Mary is introduced here. This is really interesting. I don't know if you guys have caught this before, but look at this. All Luke is trying to do, starting in verse 26, Luke is trying to tell us that there's a girl named Mary who's going to carry the Christ child. But look at the way he says it. The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So the time that this happens is referenced to another woman being pregnant. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. So all this, just pay attention, stick with me here. The introduction to Mary starts with the sixth month of another woman's pregnancy, to the angel who was sent to her, to the town that she lives in, to the region the town was lived in, and that she's a virgin, and that she's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We have seven distinct and discrete pieces of information that are given to us before we're given Mary's name. Now, after we're given Mary's name, we get it a lot more. But what's fascinating is what Luke is telling us is this woman fits the bill. This isn't just some random girl that God picked. This woman fits the bill. She's from the right place. She's from the right family. She's getting married to the right family. This is the right woman to do the job. If you go back and read the Old Testament, you'll find out that Jesus had to be born in a certain place. He had to be born at a certain time. He had to be born to a certain family. This girl fits the bill. And the angel comes to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." God is with you. By the way, that's a pretty phenomenal greeting. We who are Protestants, we who are evangelicals, we have a tendency, and especially some of us who grew up Catholic, there's some of us in here, there's a tendency for people who either are afraid of Catholicism or people who grew up within Catholicism to not really want anything to do with Mary. Oh, Mary, that's Romanism. We can't say anything good about Mary. No, we can say lots of good stuff about Mary. God says, the angel says that she's highly favored by God. God thought pretty highly of her. God thought that she was worthy to bear the Christ child. God didn't say that about me. God said it about her. We can speak pretty highly of Mary. And in fact, we can say something about Mary that maybe you know, maybe you recognize, but maybe you've never thought of before. Which is that Mary is a picture of the church. One of the reasons why the Catholics, and not just the Catholics, but the Eastern Orthodox and the Coptic Christians and the Armenian Christians, one of the reasons why all these people place such a high emphasis on Mary, why they worship in some cases Mary, which is wrong, but why they do that is because when they look at Mary, they say Mary is a picture of the church. Mary is the church in one person, because what did Mary do? Mary had God within her. God dwelt within this woman. Now, some of us, a lot of us, Those of us who've grown up in America, which I think is everybody in this room, and those of us who have grown up in the 20th century, which I think is all of us in this room, well, with the exception of those two, we have a tendency to think that, you know, the spirit is really good, the soul is really good, but the body's kind of icky. It just kind of is. What is the body? The body sweats. The body poops. The body makes weird smells. The body makes weird sounds. The body's kind of just icky and gross. And we tend to think that, you know, what really matters in Christianity, what really matters for us as believers is not the body. It's not whether we kneel in prayer or not. It's not whether we fast. It's not whether we, you know, try to have an incarnational faith of actually celebrating the sacraments. It's whether we read our devotions and whether we have these high-minded thoughts. We can direct our souls to heaven. That's what matters. But God didn't think so. Allow me to be a little bit graphic here. Mary changed God's diapers. God threw up on Mary. I'll be a little more graphic. God passed through the birth canal and passed the vulva, vagina, and labia of a little peasant girl from Israel. Now you say, well, Luke, that's graphic. Well, God didn't think so. God didn't think it was inappropriate. You think the people in the ancient world didn't know what childbirth was? God didn't think it was too gross. God didn't think it was icky. Because God wanted to dwell in flesh. Jesus does not say the flesh is bad. Jesus does not say that this skin and bones and hair and smells and juices, he doesn't say they're bad. He says they're good. Because he took on flesh. He became flesh. And to start that, he was in this woman. God himself became a little speck that for 9 months dwelt within this woman. God was in her. And that makes Mary a picture of the church, because Jesus Christ dwells within his church. What do we say? We say that we have treasure in earthen jars, because that's all we are. We're earthen jars. They put you in the ground and you turn back into the ground. They pour dust on you and you turn back into dust. That's what you are. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You're just clay. You're just clay organized pretty cleverly. We're supposed to be a temple. A temple built up like stones. And why does a temple exist? Why do you have a physical frame of a temple? So that God can dwell in the temple. That's what the church is. It's a temple. The church is a body. The body of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is supposed to be. And brothers and sisters, that's what we as individuals are supposed to be. Our body, not just the body of the church, but our body is supposed to be a temple. Our physical bodies are supposed to be a temple. Our physical bodies are supposed to represent the body of Christ. And we are supposed to have Christ dwelling within us. We're supposed to be like Mary. You guys know that old hymn, "Let my soul like Mary be thine earthly sanctuary." We are supposed to have God dwelling in us. Mary is a picture for us of what we are supposed to be, how we are supposed to be. We, brothers and sisters, are supposed to be like Mary. We are supposed to have God dwelling within us. Now, my all-time favorite preacher, J. Vernon McGee, he told a story once. It was this little girl, and they were in a Sunday school class. And the Sunday school teacher told the little girl that God wanted to live inside of them, that God wanted to be in them. And the little girl said, "What? God wants to be inside of me?" And the Sunday school teacher said, "Yes, God wants to live inside of you." And the little girl said, "But God's so big and I'm so little. He's going to show through. Yeah. Yeah. He will. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for Advent, as we prepare in Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare to celebrate the Feast of Christ, as we prepare to celebrate Christ in this world, let's remember Mary. Mary, who is a picture of our church. Mary, who is a picture of us. Let's remember that God dwelt within her. And let's remember that God is going to dwell within you. If you are truly a Christian, if you truly are a believer, then God dwells within you. And here's my question this morning. You got a baby bump? Are you showing? Because eventually, if you're pregnant, you can't hide it forever. Sooner or later, that bump shows. Sooner or later, people know. Eventually, it shows. Brothers and sisters, does it show? You got that baby bump? Do people see? Do people know that Christ is in you? Don't be ashamed of it. Don't put on a baggy sweater and some sweatpants and just try to take all your pictures sitting down. Don't do that. Let it show. Wear t-shirts that are way too tight. Well, let your belly roll up. Let it show. Don't be ashamed of it. If Christ is dwelling in you, let people see that baby bump. Let it show. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you are, as Rachel read this morning, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, God, that you are not only with us, but that you are in us. That you, Lord Jesus Christ, choose to dwell in each and every one of us. You choose to make yourself known and seen. You choose to live your life in and through us. We thank you for this, Lord Jesus. And God, we ask that you would give us the courage, the strength, and the faith to let it show. Let others see that Christ is dwelling within us, Lord. Let others see that we are full of you, full of the Holy Spirit, and prepared for all good works. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.